Good afternoon. Margaret Hampton here from the Diocese of Boise. If you wouldn't mind getting out either your program guide where we could do the prayer together, or on your WOVA app, you can also open up the prayer and join me. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities, and may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the faith of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Well, I have the pleasure of doing the intro for Corey Hout. Many of you probably already know him. He's been a stable since I've known ICSC for a long time. And he's currently the director of the Catholic Community Foundation in New Orleans and has 28 plus years in nonprofit. So if you want to read the details of his bio, look at the phone, because I know Corey is anxious to get started and cover a lot, and he's got a lot of material here. Looks like to cover some good stuff. So thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Margaret. All right, welcome, and feel free. We do have a few seats here. They put me in a small room because of my ego. So we're starting off good here. All right, thanks. We've got a good crowd, need some laughs. This is meant to be able to help not only with the conversation, the planning, your work, but really this is, we're in ministry. And so thank you for being here to be in ministry together. It's awesome. And I'm honored, and I feel the weight of that. If you do feel desire to be able to put anything on social media, you could hit that right there and try to find as many of your co-mates to be able to put on there, start a conversation. Because this conversation is not easy to start in the church. This is interesting, and it's named Legacy Sunday, and you should never trust a talk that says it has a solution for anything in the church. So, what are we talking about here? We're talking about plan giving and legacy giving inside of the church. And what I wanted to do is frame it up for you with really something as a faithful man, father, husband has wrestled with in the church, but then as a development professional, really wrestled with in the church. And so today's meant to be able to not only allow you to enter into the journey, but also ask you as faithful disciples to continue it from this room on. The church doesn't have a solution, but we together can have a solution and can start to wrestle with something that has a great witness to be able to not only for the church to be able to utilize, but to evangelize and grow into the next centuries. And so today's talk is meant to share kind of my journey, some insights, some thoughts around the theological connections that I've tried to make with plan giving, and then how we've tried to launch that here in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. There's no peace except to be able to say that there's a lot of people, not only in this room, that I'd like to recognize that have been a part of that journey, but that's the reason why I call you to the seat, to the table, to be able to join us, because we're not going to figure it out just like one group or one little program, but together being able to help navigate this. And so it's a pleasure. So let us begin. So we'll kind of go over a little bit of background. We're going to go over some theology of gift language that's tied to it, the giving the space to grow, and then the theoretical and practitioner part of plan giving. And part of that is the tension of legacy. So who in the room would want to raise their hand and just define Christ's legacy? And there's always going to be a multiple level answer to that. You could find somebody that goes to his works and to the love. You could go to the Bible. You could go to the catechism. You could kind of define it in many ways. But the reality is it's not easy to define because it's different for all of us. It would be like me asking my brother, what's my parents' legacy? Well, what is my parents' legacy? It's different for him. And it's different for each of us as disciples. And so there's a conversation around this that makes it hard for the church to talk about because it's different for each one of us. Just as we would identify as it's different for our own parents, and our spiritual father would be the same way. And so what can we do about this challenge that we have before us, and be able to kind of navigate it together? So there's a few assumptions that I kind of took into this that I wanted to be able to share. Just so that I'm defining stuff that doesn't sound too heady. Theology of the gift. What are we talking about? Really, in the same sense as stewardship is understanding that all is gift from God. Theology of the gift is understanding that that gift, starting with creation and starting with our own life, is a continuation of that gift, and seeing that through every asset, every facet, every piece, every nook and cranny of our life, down to our failings, to our successes, that everything is gift. And how we use that to be able to make that return. And so it's a little bit more comprehensive than just saying, hey, yes, I'm so grateful, everything in my life is a gift. To being able to have this universal look that everything that we have up to this point has been a gift to God for this moment. And being able to understand that as a theology gift allows us to frame it a little bit larger. But the big concept for me was to understand that God's wisdom, He designed legacy to be a powerful aspect of the theology of the gift. And that gift doesn't stop with our death. And do we believe that? That gift doesn't stop with our death. And that understanding that allows us to be able to open up that in salvation history, God made us for legacy. And so what was salvation history, right? Just going back to catechism class. I teach 6th and 7th grade class, and if I ask that, they'd all walk out the class. I'm saying, please don't leave. What is it, right? It's a story. This is our story of our own salvation. That in the story of our own salvation, recognizing this theological block, that God made us for legacy. And can we recognize that because of one true and solid piece, which is that God left something behind. God left something behind to impact us. And that's not something that's a small theological understanding. It really has massive consequence for us today and for the church tomorrow. We rarely talk about legacy in the church. In fact, that's the reason why I'm even here presenting today, is because of the tension of not talking about it enough. Seeing face to face with over 110 parishes, the squirm in the pastor when you start talking about, I'm proud that I don't talk about money, and I'm definitely not going to ask for their house. So we've got summarized to 1,004. Right? So how do we get to that point to say, is legacy really just about the house? Is legacy really just about money? In God's plan, He sent His own Son with a plan for His legacy. The span of just His life was not the full plan. Do you believe that? Right? So if you believe that, then you start to be able to understand that God did not limit that for us. And so why would not God want the same for us? God's plan, manifesting the life of the world, recognizing that Christ planned His legacy, planned it, stating His intentions. So what exactly was Christ's legacy? We know it's the Eucharist, right? Do this in remembrance of me. We start to see things that are left behind intentionally as part of that. Well, we know that that came also with Peter, right? What was that? That's the church. Do we recognize that both the Eucharist and the church is part of Christ's legacy? Specifically, He did things on earth to prepare for something to be left behind. Y'all are getting the connection? You need to drill that down into your heart, because this is the change in how we talk to our pastors. Yo, this is not some fancy way to get gifts. This is a continuation of what Christ prepared us for and what He prepared the world for. And the fascinating part, there's one extra piece on this that's part of Christ's legacy. Anybody?
Holy Spirit.
Okay. The Holy Spirit in you. Yeah, there you go. The Holy Spirit in you. Good answer. We set that up. The Holy Spirit set that up. See, he's pointing at you. The cholesterol of Peter and his church, right? Jesus named a person in his desire to carry on his values. What? Wait, what? Did you just hear that? Let's call him the executive of the estate. Did he not?
Yeah.
He did. Isn't that fascinating when you frame it that way? He entrusted another person with the valuables of a growing community. The fundraising wasn't removed from his ministry. Jesus wasn't clueless to the Old Testament, to the plight of Moses to care for his people. What did Moses do? Moses prepared the tents. And if he prepared the tents, you think he's not going to ask Peter to prepare the way? So he says, care for my church. Yes, he didn't go into the details of a checklist, but we know for a fact that Jesus intentionally was forming out his legacy. And if he's forming out his legacy, that means we all have to lean into that to learn what that means for us as Catholics, for us as faithful, for us as people that are going to carry on that legacy, if you really believe in your heart that that's entrusted to us. Is the church entrusted to us? Amen?
Amen.
Is the church entrusted to us?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus was aware of the work of the women of Jerusalem, right? So he understood that there was a price to pay for the ministry that he was doing. And what did he do? God knew in his plan that Paul would have to find a way to spread the word and that he would be engrossed in the economy of the land. Where did Paul get the pen? Where did he get the paper? How did he get the letter to the Corinthians? How did he get the letter back? How did he tell that story? Do you think from Paul's first letter to his last letter wasn't better? I would hope your own fundraising letters from the first letter to the last letter is better. Right? He was human. And we understand that as part of the journey and the continuation of what we're doing. Not only in that, but being able to understand that if that legacy and that was being set up that whole time, why have we severed that recently? Or why do we not really feel comfortable talking about it? So I want to kind of dive into that a little bit. What does it look like? So why do we not talk about legacy? Why don't we invite into the power of legacy? If it's such a powerful event, if the culmination and the beginning of his legacy started with his eventual sacrifice, and the power of legacy is there, what stops us from that point to be able to talk forward? A lot of this really comes from this idea that we don't know how to really reach into and to really find what I would consider the language to talk about this confidently within our faith. Why? We're broken. We're all... Look, I have a couple staff here. They tell you, I have just as many problems as the next person. We all have our challenges. And sometimes that stops us from the confidence of being wrong, being vulnerable and saying, hey, look, this is what the church calls us into. And if we do that with confidence, we leave behind some of the things that are just like, yeah, that's coming from Corey. He's just like a used car salesman. You were supposed to laugh at that. So if that's the case, then what happens with that? So then we need to start finding as a community what that language is. I would propose that we've never given the proper Catholic language to legacy giving, and that's why we're in the spot today. We've never wrestled with it as a theological truth that legacy was crafted the whole time by Jesus to be able to be given to us, and so we never did that, or it happened for generations or centuries more naturally or organically in the family, right? Our modern family for the past 150 years is so much different than, right, the 1800 years before that. But truly, if that's the case, can we lean into that to understand if we have family in the modern world, don't you think the Lord's going to reveal himself in this modern time to do this? So we need to find the Catholic language to lean into that. That we can't just say, what is your legacy? Don't you want an impact on this world? We have to tie it to Christ if we want any success. Why? Because it's the only reason that the faithful can point to that's greater than them. That says, you know what, if I really want an extension of my faith, it's not just about my impact forever and that my kids will know it because my name's on the building. It's because you were made for legacy. That Christ formed you and made you for legacy. And that Christ formed each one of you in your own families for legacy, in whatever vocational role you're called to. And when we connect those dots, we're able to be able to claim that connection back and then first tell the story ourselves. It's like in fundraising. If you don't believe in yourself first, you're not going to get it out. So if you want to go out and talk a new language about planned giving, it's going to not happen until you first claim, I was made for legacy. You were made for legacy. Our vocation, the nature of our very calling, is made for legacy. So it is. We know it's complex, and we know it's out there, and we know it's a challenge in the church. But that's not just because it's a fundraising conversation. It's complex because we know that with the ethos of the theology of the gift, that the complex of it is not just, okay, I'm going to ask for money here for the annual appeal, and then I'm going to ask for, I give Catholic in the giving day, and I'm going to ask for this, and then all of a sudden, oh, I need to change to, like, I'm going to ask for your house. So the complexity of understanding the theology of the gift is that if you don't have the contextualization of the giving or the ask in these other ways, and then try to jump to God and you and legacy and Christ's legacy at some point in time, there's a disconnect. Because it will be shown, not necessarily by your words or actions, but it will be shown by the disconnect of the time that I'm asking, 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 and then all of a sudden I'm trying to connect you to Christ's legacy. It's an integrated conversation from the very beginning. To be able to boldly claim that that's part of it. We've tried to simplify it, so we decided to wrestle with this. And in wrestling with this, I think one of the great things in wrestling with it over the past multiple years is that the complexity is that our mind, our human minds and our donors' minds can only handle so much. From our phones to technology, we have to be able to make it not only palpable, but we have to be able to make it real for people. And so, even in certain complex words, we had to go back and say, what does really legacy mean? And the meaning behind it really was to boil it down to two areas. And to be able to say, you know, there was a spiritual impact that you're going to have and a material impact that you're going to have. So legacy being is the impact that you leave behind, that there's both a spiritual component and a material component. Every single priest I talk to in trying to be able to launch different legacy stuff, and I'm just going on a base assumption. So if anybody doesn't do planned giving and stuff like that, part of that is when you talk to a priest, there's a lot of just kind of, so I'm just kind of filling in, there's just a lot of kind of assumptions that happen of like, hey, you know, Father, like they died, you're going to put them in the will, like those kind of conversations. None of those conversations I had in those 7 years included the priest or myself talking about the spiritual. It all had a conversation around the material. And we realized we were missing something, that if we don't lead with the spiritual, one, they won't be comfortable in their vocational call to talk about it. But two, we also need to be able to help frame it, because some people in phases in life, in your seasons in life, will want to talk about the spiritual. One will talk about the material and vice versa. So when you have both to talk about, it opens the door to find and meet them at their space in life. So a Catholic legacy is the spiritual and material impact we leave on the world. And inside of that, you understand that the spiritual component, the things we pass on, our values and our Catholic faith. The material component, the valuables we leave behind. Oftentimes we'll say the values and the valuables, right? The easy way to just kind of summarize that. The values and the valuables. In understanding both of those, you can start kind of going through that and being able to say, well, what is inside of planned giving or legacy giving? And I'll just quick pause again. I don't want to assume for those that are not in the planned giving world. Those names are pretty synonymous, planned giving and legacy giving. A lot of times they're used in a way that planned giving can be a little bit larger inside of the fact that it can get into estate stuff, it can get into trust and certain things, where a lot of times legacy giving is really, it can sometimes often to be just be boiled down to being able to say, hey, leave something in your will. And it's not a surprise that, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, that the majority of planned giving, 90% of planned giving, we know, this is scientific, Dr. Russell James, 90% of it Dr. Russell James says, is just a simple bequest in the will. We know that. Yet we make this so complex. So we wrestle with this idea. If it's so simple, why are we speaking and leaning everything that we have into the 10% that make it complex? Stay with that for a second. We know scientifically 90% of plain giving is just a simple paragraph or ad in a bequest, as a bequest in the will. Yet the sheer majority of the conversations or the fear of going into the plain giving conversation is what? I don't do trusts. I'm going to get into legal trouble. I don't want to give them advice on this. That's baseball mentality. I'm like, I'm going to strike out. I'm not getting up there. Yeah, you're going to strike out. That's part of it. Plan giving and legacy giving are the same thing. The process in which a donor creates a financial estate plan in which they formally decide to give something of value to an organization at a future date. Plan giving sometimes involves tax and legal considerations. So why the struggle? Well, the Catechism calls us to care for our families. And what I'm going to propose to you is that inside of the faith, the main reason that I found meeting with priests, their struggle to be able to talk about legacy giving, you may answer, after I just set this up, to say money. They don't feel comfortable talking about money. But the reality is, when you dig a little deeper into the priest conversation, they're always afraid that they're stepping in the way of the children. I see a lot of you shaking your heads. If you don't plan giving, what happens is that scares us away. So what do? We leave the conversation. Bishop Olmsted, I loved his quote that he used when he said, you know what? When you think of plain giving, think of the church as one of your children. So what happens is he leaned into this idea that the church and your generosity is not opposed, but synonymous and congruent with your giving to your children. So how do you do that? You take it out of the conversation by addressing it. By saying, yes, giving to your children is important, so important that it's in the catechism, that it calls us to care for our children. But it also calls to care for the church. And you can do both. It's a yes and. And to be able to lean into that is a really significant piece that if you're journeying with clergy, to be able to lean into. That when they talk about this, that this is not taking from the children to give to the church. It's synonymously giving this legacy that involves their children and the church in the next generation. And when they see that and they see that connection, that's an important delineation so that people don't feel, one, that the priest is one reaching, but two, that the priest feels comfortable that this is part of a natural iteration to the next level. So do this faithful see the church as a competitor. You know, we talk in death and we talk in, you know, these things that we, in Russell James, in our foundation track, we had Dr. Russell James present. And you'll hear me reference him a few times. Very heady guy, but his stuff and the scientific proof of not only of plan giving and how important it is, but it is interesting of all the things of the struggle. I always say inside of the church, and this was one day, it was close to Mardi Gras. Anybody know what Mardi Gras is? There you go. Right, Mobile invented it. Shannon, I agree with you guys. I'm all love you, girl. Mobile claims that it's older than this, and it technically is, but they're not as fun. There you go. Y'all definitely are. I'll tease. Here we go. So, what is it? Well, he looks me in the eyes and he's like, are you talking about like people dying? And funny, Russell James in the back of my head, like, don't talk death, don't talk death. And I'm like, well, Father, actually, you know what's interesting? You know what you're doing in 2 weeks? You're spreading ashes on someone's forehead to tell them that they're about to die. Oh, you're the one that's now afraid of talking to death. Like, get out of here. Like, call them out. Call them out. Like, you're now scared. Oh, okay. Guys, we embrace death not as like, let's all die. We embrace death as that's not the end of the story. And so part of legacy is being able to fulfill that piece, fulfill the conversation of death. so that we know that inside of all this, that we can use the conversation, not necessarily to talk about death, but to be able to talk about what? Perpetuity, life beyond that. And then it's not in the same situation, but, you know, it's hard to share a blanket message. And that's why it is hard when you start talking to priests and be able to say, well, my experience is a little different. And I really do think that that's why the collection basket has literally just taken our church to a safe space. Like, let me just pass this real quick. Take that. And then you're passing it to him, and I'm not even touching it. I'm not even asking it. But we've removed ourselves from what I would call is one of the most beautiful things as a segue between the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, which is the fact that we're all reminded that we're made for offertory. That we're made for offertory. That we are made to offer our gifts. We're made for them to be consecrated. St. Joseph's on Tulane, not far from here. In fact, we might be in their physical parish, their boundary. The old priest, Vincentian priest, he's transferred out of Arkansas. You take the offering basket from the up the and you turn it around to the crucifix, and he would offer it. And it was in the same motion of the consecration. But we were made to offer, and he knew that. And he knew that those conversations that we're having and we're struggling with is because we've disconnected this idea that we're made for offering. And that you make an offering every week. And that legacy giving is only a continuation of that offering. That your body is rolled right down the pew and offered right back to the Lord in your funeral. But those conversations often are disconnected. Our church needs to be catechized with the theology of the gift, yes, in the way that understands. But even in a bigger base, we need a theology of the gift based to academically and practically push this through a new awakening. What do I mean by that? That new awakening is being able to start to remove ourselves from just this idea that we're here, you're going to go back, and you're going to say, we need a legacy program. And the words that you're going to use are going to say, because we have a transfer of wealth and the church needs the wealth. And that's true, actually. But that's not the main story. That's not the main story of why we need to be able to talk about this. We need to be able to talk about it so it has a better and a deeper appreciation of legacy. Times of trial help us to reimagine our approach. Times of opportunity invite innovation. I'm asking, we're asking, why do we keep doing it the same way? What's the same way? I would start to be able to come up. I'll say this first and I'll come back to that. We'll come up. We have a parish. Vigil mass. We have a steak dinner provider. We have a lawyer. We have a little guy to be able to speak. The mass promotes it. 30 people come in. We feed them. We talk about end-of-life issues. We talk about a couple little nuances. And inside of this little glass wall, this is how it started, inside of this glass wall, mass let out and we kind of captured them. I watched 350 people walk to the parking lot. And we had 30 and they're like, man, what great attendance. And I literally wanted to vomit myself. It's like, who's telling them about this? How are we missing this? You know, we talk about it in little pockets as if it's like, you know, coming through this little stick, you know, if we could lure them in that way. So the innovation was, how do we reimagine this? It wasn't too well. It was just trying to think, how do we do this inside of a digital format? We created, and I'm going to pass this around, we created what's called a Lifetime of Generosity. It was basically, it's a video series. We can't watch it now, but it's a video series kind of capturing the theological journey. A series of 7 2-minute videos. And all those kind of lead you to this conversation. And that's not what we're going to be talking about, because I felt that the innovation needed to be go beyond that. This was a way to digitally approach those 300 people that walked to their car. What are we giving them? At least we had something to at least for the parish to offer them. And maybe we'd only get 20% of them to be able to watch it. But guess what? I'm doing something to try to reach those people walking to the car. So this is what we came up with. A digital legacy seminar. We capped it at the back end with free will as kind of a lure. And my guilt was, I don't want to just give them a free will. I want to be able to help them wrestle with the bigger theological questions. I'm going to pass this around. I thought I had more than this, but I don't. It's a digital download on our website that goes with the seminar. So it prompts you to answer the question in the worksheet. And I would encourage you, it's on our website. You can go ccfnolan.org, and you'll be able to go there to be able to see us wrestling with this idea of scaling the legacy conversation. Again, free will's at the end. We're at the end, and we're like, man, there's still something missing. And part of that was the priest's hesitation to even do that. And so we said, well, what do we need to be able to do? What are we going to do? So it starts personally. And I started thinking, like, who am I? Like, what do I have in this? I'm Carl and Cheryl's son. I'm someone's legacy. Who are you? You're someone's legacy.
I don't know who you guys are. Derek Sr.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Derek's not a good way.
Sure.
Gave you Terry's legacy. You're someone's legacy. You're Christ's legacy. So it helped me start to think, you know what, how do I address that more in a personal and the theological kind of approach? And then being able to say, you see yourself in that way, and then also understand that there was and is a lot of legacy conversations bringing up painful past we found. And how does a pastor address that? Because when you start bringing up legacy, you start bringing up everything from their past. Are you ready for that? Is the priest understanding that piece? But also seeing that you're the beneficiary of another's legacy, right? So Carl was the beneficiary of Harold's legacy. Harold was the beneficiary of James's legacy. James was the beneficiary of James Sr.'s legacy. You can take your lineage all the way back and start to understand that part of legacy comes in this lineage, but it's also understanding that when we wrestle with that, it brings us to a point that we're like, all right, what do we do with that? If the church has this response, the church has parishes, we're trying to scale this thing, we're just going to offer them a free will, and we're going to offer them this legacy, and hopefully at some point in time they kind of make the decision. We don't do that with any area of the church. Why would we start with plain giving? Just be like, here's a little tool and go. No, we should lean into stuff. So that's what we're doing. I put this up there just as a little break, but can everybody see it? When I get big, I want to be a great philanthropist. You have to have a lot of money to be a great philanthropist. I want to be a great philanthropist with someone else's money. I'm sitting here thinking, like, it's part of my own legacy. I'm like, man, I'd love to be able to help people. But it was like, what is going to be part of the legacy of the church? And it's like, in this time, with the information we have, how do we kind of shift this? And so we started saying, we have to have these conversations, discussions, to be able to lean in it. Learn more about planned giving and how it can be fostered in the spiritual dimension of legacy. Innovate. Dive deeper to provide more resources. That first bit was not enough. So, what did I have to do? We had to take another swing. We had to take another swing, and that other swing involved in something that, this is one of our priests, Father Charles Benoit, who's sitting, is at my old desk, but it was up there, and I put this quote here behind my desk every day, because it reminded me of what it was inside of my heart that drove me to be able to do this work. And for each one of you, what is the quote that's going to help drive you? And it's interesting, I chose the quote before I got fully into planned giving. But what was important about the scripture that I want to point out, it was that you're appointed to go and bear fruit that will remain. Man, it struck me like a ton of bricks, y'all, what is legacy? We just defined it. It's a spiritual and material mark. It's an impact. And yet here it is one of the most powerful scriptures in John that says we are here to bear fruit that will remain. If that doesn't convict you that the church is asking us to lean into this legacy conversation, and this isn't just some fancy way that God's saying, like, Peter, do big endowments. Even though that sounds great, doesn't it? So we sat, put our brains together, coming to these conferences. I'm leaving, scribbling notes, talking, going back to our staff, driving them crazy. I had this idea. Like, oh, cool, good idea. You got a lot of them.
Shut it.
Let's just get to work, you extrovert. So it comes down to it, and it's like, hey, let's brand this and come out. And it was almost with the Holy Spirit blessed at that time and said, we need to do something. We need to be able to do this together. Y'all, innovation is nothing but just kind of looking at the landscape. You know what the innovation was? The innovation is the psychology of the priest. Father, you're going to punch me in my face at the end of this. The psychology of our priest. And it was interesting. I go to a priest and I'm like, Father, like, this is so important. He's like, he wouldn't deny me. He would say, yeah, I believe you. But I could never get them across the finish line to actually pull it off in a weekend. And then he had this brilliant idea. Guess what it is? How do they do the bishop's appeal? All in one weekend. Why don't we have this thing where they all just have to do it together? And to be able to talk about it together, that they have not an excuse to be able to do it, but they have each other to be able to walk the line and say, you know what, this is part of the diocese and we're going to do this together because this is important. Because Christ left a legacy. So, we started as an initiative of the Catholic Communion Foundation here, created the vision and support of it. Archbishop Bateman, who some of y'all may have met yesterday at our celebrant for Mass. And we decided to be able to say, let's do it all in one weekend. And so this past January, we had it all in one weekend. And I went to the Presbyteral Council, I went to all the deaneries, and we're just saying, hey, listen, we're going to do this together, and we're going to figure out how to do this conversation with your brother priest. We're going to lean in on each other. We're going to pick a weekend, not in Lent, not too busy, and we're just going to try it. I went 7 years having conversations, starting that digital link, the digital seminar, trying to get that push, conversations going. We'd get maybe 2 to 3 pastors to do it a year. In one weekend, this past January, we had 43 parishes participate, all in one weekend. First time we did it. Because they felt the community, which is like, hit me upside the head. How did I not figure this out earlier? That they want to do things, and church does things in community. Why the churches that built like they are. Because they're meant for community. So build them and do this as community. Offer the conversation as community. So what do we start doing? Well, we started going through legacy. Well, there's a spiritual need to give. We know that. That's part of that theology of the gift. And being able to help them lean into it. As we reflect, we grow in gratitude, generosity, which is so critical to our faith. But the parish needs it. Parishes are often overlooked when it comes to preparing bequests, right? We're talking about the 90% of planned gifts done by bequests, right? Parishes receive only 9% of bequests. And so we're like, how do we do this as parishes? So what did we do with Legacy Sunday? This is not for our schools. This was not for our ministries. This was leaning into the parish conversation. And understanding, not only as a foundation, but my conversations is not about my donors. It really is a gift to the parish. So we needed to make something that was in service to them. We understood that those conversations with the priest often would come up and say, Father would say, God, yeah, we got this transfer of wealth coming and I don't know what to do with it. And I keep saying, don't worry about the wealth. It comes from a relationship. But yes, we need to get busy. And we need to get busy because if we don't give them something more beautiful to go to, they're just going to go to where they want to go. And that is part of what we needed to be able to say. It's like, we needed the story of our parishioners. They want to carry on Christ's legacy. They are charitable. They're not being asked by us. They are loyal and faithful. And if we believe that, and we know that through our bishop's appeal, we know that through our initiatives, we know that through our giving days, why are we not inviting them to legacy? Even if it's a soft way from the spiritual and the material. Some of y'all might have seen this before, Bob's story, right? He was baptized in the church, choir born in the church, married in the church, brought to his kids to church. For 67 years, Bob gave away every week to church. In 2023, Bob left $30,000 in his will to a nonprofit next door. I have 4 to 5 personal stories of daily communicants that gave to either the animal shelter or another organization because they did not ask. And if we're not asking, what are we doing? Well, we know that the ways to give or plan gifts is by will, beneficiary designation, cash, property, stocks. But all those things are details to get to the conversation. So we said we need to come up with something simple. And part of that is I'm going to start in the back with a couple, start in the front with a couple. And I'm going to pass around. We wanted to come with a brochure that works for each parish. Just pass them around after you look at it. We wanted to come up with something that came out not only from the parish side, but for each group inside of that. Okay, so we wanted it to be simple. We wanted them to be able to really wrestle with two pieces inside of that. And part of that was, as you'll see, was to be able to say, we're leaning into the spiritual and the material. See that? The spiritual material. And then inside of that was the ask, being able to get them so that they understood that they had language into this. So what was this campaign? This campaign was for the 90%. This campaign was a simple way for the pastor to be able to bring up the conversation about a request in the will for the parish, and how to be able to enter that and get this into their hand with that personal request, and how to do it diocesan-wide, knowing he's saying, hey, this weekend is Legacy Sunday. We have this important part. He could lean into the spiritual teaching of it, and then he could go into the material. And he could talk about, see, we talk immediately about children and family as part of their request. You don't shy away from the things that then are thought of as conflicts to the will. You lean into them. And we're able to do that by saying, these are important things that you could talk about, and you could do it in a number of ways, from a very soft ask by just handing out the brochures to be able to actually teach into it as part of your homily or after you kind of connect to the gospel readings. So it had an action piece to that. And even in our cathedral, they used that for that weekend. So everywhere in that idea, in the conversation, was how do we push this out to the parishes? Now, I know what you're saying. Okay, great, 43 parishes, show me the money. Look, that's a lot of people say. Is not plan giving planting of the seeds, the conversation of this? We don't know where the fruits will come from this. We tried to wrestle with the kind of the give back, and we're continuing to wrestle it. And this is the reason why I have you here today, is how do we continue to wrestle with this idea that we're wrestling with something that I think is going to be transformative for the church. Not so much because it's just this fancy tool, but it's a way to be able to have our clergy understand the spiritual connection to legacy and how to be able to invite their parishioners into this conversation without excuse, but also without an opportunity for them to be able to feel like they're not prepared to be able to do that. And we interviewed a number of priests that did this. And one of the priests, it was at is a parish on the North Shore. And a parishioner after came to him and said, Father, I just want to let you know, I really appreciate this, but about 2 years ago, I left you in my will. And it hit him. He's like, you know what? I went 2 years not knowing that they cared for the parish. So this campaign wasn't necessarily the fact, and he basically in short order said, I was waiting for you to talk about this stuff. It's an invitation for the accountability built into the life of the church, the life of the liturgical season, to invite parishioners into a legacy, into Christ's legacy, so that they know that the spiritual mark is not just part of this, but it is the material. And the material is not just part of this, it is the spiritual. I had a lot of people push back when we were doing this and say, you should just lean into the material. Just ask them for their will. And I think where it leaves it short is there's a lot of priests that don't feel comfortable and will never feel comfortable about it. But if I could get them the brochure and to talk about the spiritual legacy, they know that they're the legacy of someone and that they know that that's an important piece. But more than that, I think what we're understanding is that the priests would want to and are desiring for a way to be able to do this in community. So that they don't feel we're in charge of removing their blockades to this conversation. And so we need to be formed into this conversation, this legacy. We need to go back to the beginning part of this thread. Can you feel and speak comfortably to the priest about what it is to what did Christ leave as legacy? And would you not invite your parishioners to do the same? Because you can't go deep into the conversation of Eucharist without talking about legacy. And yes, it's a dive into some more like just generic language, but the reality is that those conversations don't happen in the church. And if we can do those in scale, then you can kind of form whatever. Our donor engagement committee for our foundation just this past meeting was saying, hey, you know what? What if we started taking this, offering it once a year, but then allowing the pastors to go and pick any weekend they want? So not even being so rigid about it, still pushing the weekend, but still giving the pastor the time to be able to choose during the year. Okay, so what was the secret? We took some money, put it aside, and I asked the question, and I asked any of you that work in a foundation or a diocese, because they asked it to me. What would you pay if St. Martha's came to you, I'm just making up a question, St. Martha's came to you and said, hey, Corey, you really want to do a planned giving weekend about legacy? Would you pay for the brochures? What would you say? Absolutely yes. So guess what I did? I didn't ask them. I went to the printer, bought these signs. We did a scale off of their Clarion Herald of how many brochures they would need that are in your hand, and I sent it to them without their asking. Guess what they do? What every church does. Puts them on the back of the church. Thank you for laughing. It's true. So we sent them a letter. We did a webinar to prepare the priest. We did a webinar to be able to prepare the church staff. We did all the pieces, the toolbox that we have. We built out this massive toolbox of customizable stuff. But the reality is, it happened because I sent the brochures to their doorstep with their Catholic paper and said, give them out this weekend and put this brochure out there. I'm laughing because this picture was taken 3 months after the weekend. Because they don't take stuff down. And so if the logic makes sense that you buy their brochures, because guess what? St. Martha's is calling and saying, hey, what would it take? I went and found the money and said, we're going to print them all. Because the reality is I would pay to be able to get in front of their parishioners to be able to share this kind of language. And so the boldness of that, in some ways, CFO conversation was fun, by the way, on that. The boldness of that, flipping the backside of it, is saying, guess what? We're getting our material out there. And that's our people. That's our people. I'm not running billboards on the side of the interstate. Right? Where's our money going? Our money's going to our people. So what were the learnings? Address the spiritual material. I couldn't reconcile one without the other. The faithful need to feel connected, belonging, first to Jesus, then their own children and families. Lean into their families. With plan giving, you need to lean into their families. The Bishop Olmsted quote. Spiritual legacy can look like the faith being carried on by offspring, God, children, family, or friends, right? Sometimes it's a little tongue deaf. Oh, all you children. Well, sometimes there's childlessness. They sometimes, widows. So being able to be sensitive to that in that conversation and helping the priest kind of gauge that. What are all the learnings? Spiritual legacy can be inspiration for your own humble and faithful witness. Spiritual legacy can be incomplete. It can be a bridge to material legacy or a stumbling block with a dead end. What do I mean by that? The reality is that some people, you sit down with them, Dan, you probably know this, all they want to talk about is material. Sometimes all they want to talk about is the spiritual. Let them. They're connected. They're going to connect the dots eventually. Let them. You introduce the conversation and let them pick the side that they feel most comfortable talking about. Because inside of that conversation, it then opens up to a massive, more productive conversation. Material legacy can be handled independently, but I would claim cannot reach its intended, that's spelled wrong, fullness without the spiritual legacy informing the gift. What do I mean by that? Without God, it's never going to reach its full potential. So lean into the spiritual side of that legacy. Don't be afraid of it. The endowment, storing up riches. I've had a lot of people say, hey, Corey, what are you trying to do? Build up legacy so there's endowments? No. No, that doesn't always mean an endowment. Legacy doesn't have to mean it. That could be giving it away, selling your house. That's just one piece of it. But is there something wrong with endowments? Not if it's discerned properly, and its end is not to just have money there. But if it's continuing to be able to grow or build ministry, then it's in its context. Right? So living in the past, the controlling mindset. When I say that, I say that because some people say maybe when you talk about legacy giving, a lot of times it's like you're just kind of beating people. I didn't need to do it. Like, well, our cadence for once a year was so that it's a natural piece, just like Lent. We don't think about getting to ashes every weekend, but when it comes around that time of year, it's naturally that part of time that we think, okay, this is it. This is in the life of the church. So can we have that as part of the do that? What do we need to do to encourage legacy? Personal growth, our own building gratitude. We're talking about journaling and capturing your story, writing and recording your thoughts, read scripture with the legacy lens. Just even some of this stuff I share with you. Go back and read and hear Christ's words and desire for us to be able to have something beyond us. Encourage the conversation with loved ones. We're going to have a prayer for a fundraiser, but I want to ask some questions and kind of talk about a couple of things so that we could, before we end. And Mark, how are we doing on time?
4:20.
Okay. So,
why don't you use your high school?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been asking my communications guy for an updated picture.
I could go raw and show you like day 14 of my trip to Alaska. That'd be really I want to open a conversation. Guys, I was wrestling just with an idea with our staff. The weekend, the psychology of the priest, we think we're onto something with doing it as a weekend, like a combined effort. We think that there's something there. Archbishop Raymond blessed that, and we're going to have that again. But there's other things besides sharing these materials. I'll give you the source files. It's not like we're doing Legacy Sunday where it's like you only have to use it, but I say this to tell you, it's here for your liking, for your taking. If you like the materials and you want to take it, we can give you the source files. Funny enough, it's not having to feel like you're recreating a wheel as much as it is somewhere for you to start to be able to go out there. As long as you're not, you know, selling it to Stelter or whatever or something like that. And I don't think Archbishop Amy would sue you, but I don't know. The point being is that like this is meant to be materials for you to wrestle with to say, how do I make this better? We tried to make it part, you see from the brochure, some of the old pictures, make it nostalgic, lean into that, help them feel the beauty of the church, but also to the future, right? The hopeful generation of the next child. And those are the things that I think are going to hopefully come out that we can kind of continue to make better so that we can, one, have higher adoption, but then also how we can kind of continue to lean in so that our clergy feel not only the importance of this, but more importantly, that they start to see the deep theological connection between Christ's legacy and the work that we're doing in planned giving as not only necessarily physically, but more intentionally spiritually for the church. Thank you.
Did you give brochures out in the pews on Legacy Sunday in addition to the ones in archives?
So correct. We asked them. We gave them a sheet of like, again, you know, with parishes, we're doing like tap dancing. We're doing tap. We gave them option one, pass them out, talk about it. Option two, leave them in the back. Option three, like we gave them four options. You know, with guilt, if it feels too restrictive for them, they're going to do anything. If you kind of hold their hand a little bit, we felt that it was kind of like gave them the freedom. So we did like a little audit and someone went to different parishes. One parish took our stuff, put their own pictures on there, pushed it forward, did great. Another parish literally just took our stuff and sent it out. Another parish, we didn't see the brochures, but they talked about it. So every parish did a little something. That's why it needs to reflect the full community. We know our parishes in whole are not going to create their own brochure. Because we even talked about, well, why is it not like for my parish. So that's why the language, even in the brochure, is like going to your parish and such like that. So we just tried to make it as generic but yet powerful as it could be to them. You know,
did you adapt the bulletins?
We did. We gave them in that toolkit. It's on our website. I don't think I can get the internet on here, but it's on CCF Nola. We have a toolbox. We gave them bulletin bites. We gave them homily bits, announcements. We gave all the pieces for them to be able to say, what was the branding behind it to be able to say, look, use it. So what we're doing, we're going to try to lean into this year, especially with Joe Galloway. Joe, you want to stand up real quick? Joe's first day on the job. Right there. So Joe's working at the foundation. He's coming home. He's a wayward son. And he's going to be helping lean into, this is one of the issues we found, no follow-up. So Joe's going to be helping go to the pastors. And then year-round, we're going to give them monthly bits to be able to talk about Legacy Sunday throughout the year so that there's conversation around and really leaning into this Christ legacy piece. Yes. And then,
so that was my next question for you, is how are you advising your pastors to talk to their parishioners once they've been informed of an intention?
It's great. We give them the choice. We're here for your service, or ask for a private meeting to be able to talk to them about their intention. And in our webinars and trainings for the priests, again, on our website, you'll see it, we tell them, you're never the smartest person in the room, especially with an attorney in the room. thank you. So the idea is that, Father, feel free to say, I don't know, can I bring somebody in? Father, feel free to say, you know, would you mind if we went and brought Corey in from the foundation, Bill in from the foundation, have a conversation? It's opening that door for that conversation that priest told me that said, you know, 2 years ago we put you in the will. Those are the conversations and saying, good, and he picks up the phone and calls. So the idea is that it's that built with that relationship that turns into more of those conversations. And our net now, we now have a net. We used to not have a net. Our net now is like thrown wide so the pastors feel that they're actually giving them something to start the conversation. You had an idea.
Do you think, like, I'm in the midst of writing the annual report, like, is it good to give it a half page in the annual report? Just as an option?
I think it's always, especially if you want to start doing teasers or leading into it, to be able to say, you know, what is Christ's legacy? That's what we did with our first digital seminar when I was wrestling with it. I was like, do you, like, really kind of lead them into what is your legacy? Is it tied to Christ's legacy? What is that about? Especially the faithful would want to find out. And then you do a little teaching behind that. And those are the videos. I'd encourage you to go, if you have a bored hurricane night one night, you can watch the videos. They're only 2 minutes, but it's good because it comes with that worksheet I passed around, and it helps them to think of theological yet spiritual and material goods. And we're actually going to try to revamp that next week, right, John?
So I think you may have started to answer this. So these don't necessarily make it back to you.
Gives that as a chance. If they click the QR code and went back, that there's feedback, or pastors can kind of follow back. So we try to encourage the parish to be able to follow the best way that they wanted their people to.
Question. I notice you don't have a Legacy Society mentioned in here.
We don't. Parishes can't maintain them. They can't maintain them. Out of their biggest, greatest, loving heart, they can't maintain them. Unless you're an organization or a mega parish that really has the staff to do it, they can't maintain them. So it actually hurts more to create a Legacy Society that means nothing. My humble opinion. So I always tell them, don't worry about the Legacy Society. Worry about a part of it that you have. I'm not in this for me. And that's why we really went with bended knees and parishes. We're here to serve you. We're here to build up wills to you, and you'll even see some of the state. Name your parish directly in your will. I don't care. Guess what? This is the work the Lord will bless us for what we're doing.
Have you considered, do you have a legacy? I'm assuming you guys have a legacy society.
So interesting enough, it fell apart. And that's actually where I learned it. That, because their emotional ties not to the foundation. their emotional ties to the ministries. So we try to help the bigger entities do the legacy societies. Catholic Charities, we help them launch theirs. Second Harvest, you know, those kind of things where you're looking at a bigger conversation, some kind of tie. We just found that every time a parish tried to launch it, it always fell apart. That they're better off sticking in the 90%. 90% lean into it. And just ask for gifts and will. Bequests and that kind of thing. Any other questions, comments? Listen, this journey just started. Father, go ahead.
I guess I'm probably not supposed to be in this room, I guess.
No. Okay, was it my presentation that bad?
It was great. You were wonderful.
Actually, I didn't even go to
but we have a... me too.
That was well sung. Good stuff.
Every year we have our stewardship appeal.
Yeah.
Does this legacy, can this legacy piece play into that at all, or should it be kind of on its own separate and kind of not mixing the two?
So what I would say is that sometimes the messaging gets lost in that if you really wanted to lean into the theological Christ legacy, then you would do it separately. But I will take anything. And I think my point is as long as you feel comfortable talking about that out of your priesthood, I think the people want to hear it because they want to hear we're wired. We're wired for legacy, but we're not invited into legacy. So I would think wherever they're going to hear it, it'd be welcome and be taken. All right, let's end in prayer. Dear Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Everybody want to say it together? Good and gracious God,
we recognize all life as a gift and a blessing. We thank you for your most generous love. Encourage us to be persons of honesty and integrity, worthy of proclaiming the gospel in the sacred ministry of fundraising. Help us to always reverence the sacred space where our donors and our missions meet. Give us openness to listen to the needs of our donors. Give us joyful spirits and eagerness to engage others. Give us hopeful imagination and creative vision, recognizing generosity in even the smallest gifts. Give us strong, steadfast hearts in times of discouragement. Give us trusting hearts, knowing that the fruits of our labors will be realized long after we are gone. Give us faithful hearts, deeply committed to your realm. Let us feel your presence so that we know we are never truly alone. Remind us always that all we have is gift. And what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we do for you. We ask this in Jesus' name, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father, you want to give us all a blessing real quick before we head out, please?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
God bless you, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God love you. Have some good food. Enjoy New Orleans. I'll be around if y'all want to talk.
Is your slide deck up?
I tried to upload it to WOBA. It will be at some point, yes.